Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janda Vallabha Girivada Dadi Gopi Janda Vallabha Girivada Dadi Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janda Vallabha Girivada Dadi Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari
Vishnupad Padmahans Vaidivaja Gacharya Asatarasi Sri Mata Divine Grace Silesi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Hiskambi Vidhi Pandya Charya Divine Grace Silesi Prabhupada Ki Jai Grantarashi Mad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Priyam Sankirtan Ki Jai Tai Gaur Premanandi All glorious to the sum of the bodies All glorious to the sum of the bodies All glorious to the sum of the bodies All glorious to see Guru and Gauran Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Padastaya Vudale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Vacharini Nivise Sashunyavadi Pastachari Shatarini Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 11, entitled Calculation of Time from the Atom. Text number 36. Now 36 and 37 are a bit short, so we're going to cover two verses, and then whoever gives class on Monday, 38, can have a nice long purport. Please repeat. Tasyaiva chante kalpo bhut yam padmam abhichakshate yadharir navi sarasa asya loka sharoruham. Translation. The millennium which followed the first Brahma millennium is known as the Padmakalpa, because in that millennium the universal lotus flower grew out of the navel reservoir of water of the personality of Godhead Hari. Purport. The millennium following the Brahmakalpa is known as Padmakalpa, because the universal lotus grows in that millennium. The Padmakalpa is also called the Pitrikalpa in certain Puranas. Please repeat. Ayam tu katita kalpa. I'm sorry. Ayam tu katita kalpo. Dvitiyasya pibadata. Varaha iti vikyato. Yatra sikcha karo hari. Ayam tu katita kalpo. Dvitiyasya pibadata. Varaha iti vikyato. Yatra sikcha karo hari. Ayam tu katita kalpo. Dvitiyasya pibadata. Varaha iti vikyato. Yatra sikchukaro hari. Ayam tu katita kalpo. Dvitiyasya pibadata. Varaha iti vikyato. Yatra sikchukaro hari. Ayam tu katita kalpo. Dvitiyasya pibhārata. Varaha iti vikyato. Yatra sikchukaro hari. Ayam tu katita kalpo. Ladies. I am tu katita kalpo. Dvitiyasya pibadata. Varaha iti vikyato. Yatra sikchukaro hari. Anyone else? I am
this to but katitaha known as kalpaha the current millennium dvitiyasya of the second half api certainly bharata or descendant of Bharat varaha varaha iti thus vikyata is celebrated yatra in which asit appeared sukadaha hog shape harihi the personality of Godhead. Translations and purports by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. O descendant of Bharat, the first millennium in the second half of the life of Brahma is also known as the Varaha millennium because the personality of Godhead appeared in that millennium as the hog incarnation. Please repeat. O descendant of Bharat, the first millennium in the second half of the life of Brahma is also known as the Varaha millennium because the personality of Godhead appeared in that millennium as the hog incarnation. Purport. The different millenniums known as Brahma, Padma, and Varaha, Kalpas, appear a little puzzling for the layman. There are some scholars who think these kalpas to be one and the same. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, or Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, the Brahma Kalpa in the beginning of the first half appears to be the Padma Kalpa. We can, however, simply abide by the text and understand that the present millennium is in the second half of the duration of the life of Brahma. Om Jnanatam Idandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmanitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Vagam Guru Deva Achalam Pankam Langai Tegiram Yadkipata Mahavande Sri Guram Dina Taranam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram. A little puzzling for the layman. It's an understatement. Of course, we know that Srila Prabhupada is understanding this by the grace of the Guru Parampara. Yasya Deva Para Bhaktir Yata Deva Tata Guru. That one who has implicit faith in the words of the spiritual master, all of the imports of the Vedic literatures are automatically revealed. So Srila Prabhupada is making the most complex subject a bit easier, even for the layman or somebody who doesn't know anything, but at least has faith. That is the process of a bhakti yoga, that one has to have a faith. And based on that faith, the spiritual master empowers the disciple to understand spiritual consciousness, bhakti yoga, the philosophy of the great acharyas. So we've been reading here how in the last few verses was very nicely pointed out yesterday by Archita Prabhu that Lord Brahma being a great soul, without a doubt, he's certainly a great personality, otherwise how could he be in this position of empowerment to help in help manage the creation, as we'll be reading in subsequent verses. And in the next chapter, there's more detail in how the creation takes place. And being the great Vaishnava that he is, he doesn't want worship for himself, it's stated. And just like so much so that his only interest is that he be remembered within the heart and mind. And we can do that because that's our responsibility. That's our, we have a privilege of doing that, of honoring great souls. Just like we chant the Brahma Sanghita every morning. So it's a glorification, certainly, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but it's also an appreciation and recognition of the great intelligence and offering and service that's there given by Lord Brahma. Even now in India, there are no temples. There's one in Pushkar, actually, I believe, right? One in Pushkar in Rajasthan. Yeah, there's, I remember a couple of them. But the main one, we understand, is in Pushkar, which has a very nice ghat right next to it, right? You can take bath in that ghat. It's understood that Lord Brahma comes down and he takes bath in that ghat. And on certain days, on his appearance day, Prabhupada points out yesterday, that his appearance is in March. And pilgrims come from all over. They come to honor him. It's the only one in of consequence in India. He's such a humble Vaishnava. We understand that our Brahma in this age is a pure Vaishnava. That he has his four heads, which are the four Vedic scriptures. He has his four hands, which are overseeing the four directions. So he's certainly an exalted personality. We're reading so much about him, and we'll read more about him in the coming verses again. But it's quite a contrast from some of the other personalities that you find in Vedic scriptures and histories. Today, I believe, is, what is it, Makara Sankranti? Right? Today. So what do they do on this day? They worship Surya Dev. Right? Because it signifies the beginning of the winter harvest. And the sun is transitioning from, what is it, Sagittarius to Capricorn. And which implies or indicates that the winter season is coming to an end and that the summer is, or the warmer weather is coming in. So they're worshiping the demigod, Surya Dev. And they do all kinds of things. They dress in bright colors. They fly kites. It's recommended on Surya, on Makara Sankranti, that you fly a kite. I don't know why. Does anybody know why? You'll be looking up in the sun. So, or you can, again, there's advice given in the Vedic literatures that you can worship this personality, that personality, Surya Dev or Indra Dev, right? And we have a wonderful celebration commemorating his awakening by the Lord in the Govardhan Puja festival. The Lord wakes him up from his delusion. So there's certainly responsibilities there, on at least on our behalf. This, as we read in today's purport, that Padma Kalpa is also called a Pitri Kalpa, in which the forefathers are honored. And there, like yesterday, for instance, we had one Shraddha ceremony for Narayan Prabhu. So it's recommended that certain times you perform a certain worship. Devarshi bhutapta ninam, ninam patrinam. Nakinkaronayam rini charajan. The Vedic literatures tell us that, okay, there may be some responsibility that you have to the demigods. And certainly we do have some responsibility to them when they're giving us the rains, they're giving us sunlight, they're giving us the ability and facility to engage in our activities, develop family life. There's so many different reasons that people worship the demigods. Empowerment to do various things, accomplish certain goals in life. So there's some responsibility there, certainly. Or we may have a responsibility to the sages, right? Devarshi. That the rishis are giving us benedictions. They're giving us advice. They're showing by example how one should engage in practical duties. They give benedictions so that one can perform one's duty in a proper way without offense. What is that pastime? That was it. That rishi who benedicted Kunti, that whatever she cooked. Excuse me. Devarshi Muni. Durvas Muni. Right, Durvas Muni. He benedicted that whatever she would cook, it would always be satisfying. There would be no end to her offering. So there's certainly an obligation that we have to the rishis, the sages. They're giving us a lot of help, certainly. And what to speak, the friends and relatives are also giving us. Nakinkaronayam nini charajan. Friends and relatives are doing so many things for us. We need help in a certain way, so we're reaching out to friends and relatives. So we have an obligation to them. And you also have an obligation to mankind. There's so many suffering conditions in the world, and people are being helped by this society, this country. They're helping this country over here. Somebody's starving. Somebody is needing some assistance in various ways. So we're also thankful to mankind. And we have an obligation to them. And again, we have an obligation to the forefathers because they brought us into this world. And by their hard labor, maybe because of their hard labor, we have what we have now. Were it not for them, where would you be? So there's that instruction is given there. But it's also understood that because they're part and parcel of the personality of Godhead, gadomukundam parihrittakartum, there's no reason to worship such persons separately for one who has taken on the process of devotional service. So certainly we can appreciate what a great personalities and sages and relatives and mankind and forefathers have done. But if one has taken up the process of devotional service, devotional life, there's no longer an obligation there. It's not that you have to, on a regular basis, of course. And it's for some people, it's a good business. Right? You go to to Haridwar, you go to some holy place, and you can find Brahmins every 2 feet, and they're ready to offer some kind of Shraddha, some kind of Pinda, some kind of Puja for whatever. It doesn't matter what it may be. So it's a good business. But that sort of seva is not beneficial. And one loses the value, loses the benefit. And therefore, it's incumbent upon the practitioner to understand why we're engaged in the activities that we're engaging in Krishna consciousness. We have to understand why we're performing these activities and understand that it's only by the mercy of the personality of Godhead that all these things are being given. There's a very nice verse by Lord Brahma where he says, Yasyaika Nishva Shita Kalamata Vilamba. Jivanti Loma Vilaja Jagarandanata. He explains very nicely that whatever deities are there, all the demigods, Brahma included, they appear simply out of the pores of the personality of Godhead, and their duration of lifetime is only during the exhalation of the personality of Godhead, which is just a flash. Can you imagine when you're resting, how fast is your breathing? It's very calm, but it's just a few moments. So all of this that we're reading about time and Adam and the creation, the lifetime of Brahma and the span of time that these creations are taking place. There's the Mahakalpa, when the Lord creates the Pradhan. And then there's the Vikalpa, which is the differentiation of those elements, or it's called Mahatattva. And then from that is Lord Brahma, or the Kalpa, in which he begins his creation. So all of this, we can understand, is just within a breathing instant of the Lord. It's just a fraction of a second that all of this is taking place. It's so profound, actually, that all of this, which is beyond our understanding, as Prabhupada points out here, it's puzzling for the layman, without a doubt, that how can all of this be taking place, and it's taking place within a fraction of a second. So, it's just like when you, if you observe an insect, an ant, his life is very complicated, isn't it? It's very active. You can see him, he's running around making his little tunnels. Have you seen one of those displays where they have ant hills, I guess? What is it? I didn't hear it.
Ant farm.
Ant farm. Yeah, exactly. You can see it. They have the sand. It's between two pieces of glass, and you can see how they're working so diligently. They're storing their eggs. They're working here. They're shifting things, protecting their area. So it's very active. But to us, it's just very insignificant. While we think that, oh, my life is so complicated. I've got so many things that I have to deal with. I have to deal with work. I have to deal with friends. I have to deal with my neighbors. I have to deal with my body. I have to deal with this issue, that issue. Oh, it's so complicated. And people just lose it trying to deal with all of these issues. They don't know how to deal with it. And but to Brahma or the higher devas, it's insignificant. It's just a flash. And then Lord Brahma, he has such a responsibility. He has four heads. Sometimes he has hundreds of heads. Sometimes he has thousands of heads. To deal with all of the issues that he's dealing with. And all of that, Prabhupada explains, is within a fraction of a second, within the breathing of Mahavishnu. So, what is the position of the personality of Godhead in comparison? There's no comparison. So, all of this is, again, as Prabhupada explains, can be very puzzling. And some scholars, they have the one opinion, someone has another opinion. And here Prabhupada says, we can, however, simply abide by the text and understand that the present millennium is in the second half of the duration of the life of Brahma. So we can simply abide by the text and understand it as given to us by the previous predecessor acharyas. It's like we can understand what this is to at least some little fraction, only by the mercy of the spiritual master, Yascha Deva Para Bhaktir. We can understand what that import is by the by dedicating oneself to the process. And what is that process? Karmana Manasa Gita. That everything, the body, mind, and words, have to be engaged in regulated activity. And it's then by that mercy that the that a person can be empowered, just as Brahma here was empowered, and we'll read in subsequent verses how he's being empowered by his devotion, the flower. First he appears, right, in the Brahmakalpa, then there's the Padmakalpa, the stem of the lotus grows, and then after that he's empowered to continue with the creation. So it's the example is there. We just have to simply follow the process. And hopefully we can understand a little bit. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. Kira Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much for the nice class. Would you mind speaking a little bit more about the hog incarnation of the Lord, Varaha?
Lord Varaha?
Yeah, I pretty much have no information about this incarnation of Krishna.
Well, that's in the third canto. Right? We're going to be hearing about that in the next volume. But that incarnation appears, as Prabhupada points out here, on the first day of the 51st year of Brahma's second 50 years. His second 50 years, or the second Pararda, it's called. The Pararda, the second 50 years. He appears in the first day of that second 50 years of Brahma. And the Bhagavatam very nicely, I think if you read that section, it so nicely describes how the Kumaras were offended by the gatekeepers, right, of Jai and Vijay. And they were cursed. They took birth as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, the brothers, great, powerful demons. Hiranyaksha got into a... what was he doing? He was trying to take all of the gold from the earthly planet. And as a result, the earthly planet sunk to the depths of the universe. The Lord appeared to save that planet Earth and brought it up in the form of the hog incarnation. And after rescuing the Earth, Hiranyaksha came onto the scene, and then there was a big battle. And the rest is explained so nicely by Srila Prabhupada in the Bhagavatam. But it's basically one of the first incarnations of the Lord, and he fights with Hiranyaksha, and then afterwards we know the story continues with Hiranyakashipu and Lord Nrisimhadev.
Thank you so much.
Yes, Maharaj.
Lord Varaha appeared. He had the task of getting the earth up from the bottom of the ocean and bringing it back up. And so the thing is, he had these tusks, okay? So it was on the tusks that he put the earth so that it would go up and it would not be difficult in order to get back to its original position. Mm. That was the purpose of the tusks, to put the earth on the tusks and then come up and bring it back, because it had sunken down deep beneath as a result of what you mentioned, the imbalance of the earth as a result of the gold theft.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.